state chairman of the Republican Party. Oh, boy, do we have a lot to talk about with him.
He's always, you know something, and he's a battler.
Yeah, he does.
He is a battler.
He does. He goes to war.
Yep.
J.R. Romano. J.R., good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Thanks for being with us here.
Of course.
Oh, my goodness. So a few things. A few things. Does it seem that Senators Murphy and Blumenthal are more focused on impeaching President Trump instead of working to fix our state?
Well, what is so sad is there's currently a trade agreement between Mexico, Canada, and the United States that Congress, our senators, our congressmen are refusing to pass. And what we already know is passing that trade, which, by the way, is a done deal. Mexico and Canada, everybody, it's totally agreed upon. And the Democrats in Congress do not want to pass it. It could mean estimates of 2% GDP growth.
Wow.
And they are refusing to pass, because frankly, we already know Democrats have rooted for recession. They have rooted for families in our state.
Well, yeah, anything that would give a black eye to our president. Right.
Correct. And so they don't care about Chris Murphy and Johanna Hayes and Jim Himes don't care about what's happening with your local, you know, what's happening in your house, what's happening at your kitchen table, how much more expensive it is to feed your family and pay your electric bill and how taxes, they don't care, because all they care about is power. That's what this impeachment stuff's about. That's why they're delaying this trade agreement, because they don't care about anything but their own party and power. Bottom line. Because you cannot justify the behavior of what's happening at the federal government level right now. It's disturbing at how the Democrats are behaving without, I mean, you literally had a Democrat congressman say that hearsay evidence can be more damning than actual evidence. If I am someone out there and I ever get accused of a crime, so help me God, there's no longer rule of law. And that's exactly what they want. They want it. Just whatever Democrats says goes. That's what they want the world to believe. We are morally, it's almost like a religion, right? It's like they're the moral, they stand on this moral high ground of what is right and wrong. They get to move the goalpost wherever they want it to be. It's wrong for President to do this, for President Trump to do X, but it was okay for Obama to do it. For example, the border, when we talk about what's happening with this family separations. Started under Obama, none of them cared.
So they're putting,
none of them care.
They're putting politics, partisan politics, over people.
It's not even politics. It's power. It's power. That's all it is. It's power to cover up. And don't listen. I've talked to many reporters, and none of them will do the story, Gary. None of them.
Yeah,
about how Hunter Biden got that Ukrainian deal, or the fact that Joe Biden is, and I can't find the record of it. He has yet to condemn the Chinese over what is happening in Hong Kong. Could it be because his son got $1 billion into his hedge fund from the Chinese government? But yet somehow it's okay for Ned Lamont to endorse Joe Biden, and the Hartford Courant never asked him that question. Does it make him uncomfortable that the vice president allowed his son to abuse his office? Never happened, because I got news for you. If Ned Lamont walked into Eversource, and a week later, one of Ned Lamont's relatives had a $50,000 a month job at Eversource, it'd be news.
Oh.
He did. 50 grand.
Yeah.
That's right.
50,000 a month, yeah.
Over $3 million from a corrupt Ukrainian energy company, and the Democrats are like, Chris Murphy has publicly said there's nothing wrong with that. I have news for, I'm from the Valley, the Route 8 corridor. Good, hardworking people.
You know,
it is disgusting to people that work every day, the blind eye that people like Chris Murphy are turning to that type of corruption, and yet they want to make a spectacle with no evidence. Just, this is an entire impeachment, an impeachment sham on feelings. I felt this way. I thought this. I interpreted it that way. Zero evidence. Zero.
Well,
imagine
it's going to be.
If we applied this to any other standard, I thought. I assumed they were going to rob from me. Give them 3 years, sir. It's crazy.
You know what's going to be interesting? When the votes actually are counted. I cannot believe some of the things that have been said or done. It's just...
Jay, what is your opinion of Chris Murphy living out of state?
Well, there's not, look, I think it's embarrassing for the senator, but there's nothing.
Yeah, I know. It's perfectly
legal. It's one of those things where, he's gotten a lot of guff for it. Technically, there's nothing wrong with what he's doing. But it was an embarrassing, and I'm sure that Chris read a riot act to some of his staffers that weren't following up on the mail.
So, in other words, it's been happening for a lot longer than people realize. But he doesn't even own property in Connecticut anymore, right?
Well, I mean, Connecticut has an interesting residency law in regards to you can vote in a community as long as, you plan on if you want to run for office in that community. So Connecticut has some lax laws with that. So it's not really, that to me is not a big deal. I just think that was kind of a little bit of an embarrassment for the senator.
But yet every year,
I hope he finds a house soon.
Yeah.
Every year he likes to run all around Connecticut, let people know that he's a part of it.
Well, maybe next time he could stop in some open houses.
What is your opinion on the pending toll vote on the 16th of December? And the no tolls group that's, the activist group that's been, pretty vocal throughout this.
Well, look, I think the Democrats are skittish about passing this. Even the truck, and they will be held account if they vote for this. What's funny, Gary, I was listening to the show before I got on and the talk about like the taxes, and in the last 48 hours, I've talked to two donors that I work with, for the party, and they're leaving. One of them, he's a very wealthy gentleman, doesn't live in Greenwich. He lives out in the Fairfield, Farmington Valley area.
Okay.
And all he does is own a house. His business isn't here. His business is actually, abroad, and he owns commercial property all around the country, but doesn't own anything in Connecticut outside of his home. He's leaving because since 2004, when he moved to Connecticut, he has been annually paying on simply dividends, nothing else. $500,000 a year.
Wow. Wow. Boy. Whoa.
And $30,000 a year in property tax.
So do you...
Just to live here.
Do you think they will take that vote on the 16th of December?
I don't. It's a catch-22 for me, because if they do take that vote and it passes, I think it means Republicans could win. But I almost don't want to win that way.
No, I do.
Because
exactly.
I know the suffering that will be behind it for average families, a single mom and married.
Absolutely, and I thought of that myself.
So
that's
it's a tough pill to swallow.
Yep, I agree. That's not how you want to win.
Right, but the reality is we have Democrats who are unwilling to take on their own special interests in Hartford, which means actually cutting things, right? Cutting back the egregious spending that they have, cutting back the way that they borrow. I always loved how they criticized the Republicans for wanting to do a prioritized progress, which was actually borrow money for transportation. But that was, this horrible idea. But meanwhile, Democrats can borrow money to build a splash pad in Hartford, and that's no big deal.
Yeah, asinine. If there is a vote, okay, and we get people on record for their vote. Is there a plan going forward for these legislators to lose at the polls? Is there a plan for their opponent?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. One of the things that we do is we spend a lot of time at trying to educate voters to the voting records of the Democratic Party. Now, one of the people that we focused a lot of attention on in this municipal cycle was Kathy Austin.
Yeah, and
Kathy Austin was someone that was, a person in Hartford was different than the person in Sprague. Right? She would tell the people in Sprague how she was fighting for the middle class and how she was fighting to keep taxes low. And we spent money and time and energy and volunteerism calling into her town, letting people know what her actual real voting record was, which was to vote to raise your taxes three times. along with all the other things that she had been doing. And Kathy Austin, for those, for your listeners that don't know, she's a very powerful chairman of the Appropriations Committee. So it's not just a vote. She was in negotiating these higher taxes. So what we do is we go into these districts and we make sure that the unaffiliated voters and Democrats know that their elected Democrats have been voting to make their lives more expensive and to make their lives harder.
Yeah, and she lost her mayoral seat, her first selectman seat, right?
First selectman,
so
correct.
There's a plan going forward to lose her Senate seat?
Absolutely.
We have the obviously a strong candidate would have to oppose her.
Well, so here's the thing, Gary, and I know you were a state legislator, so I say this with the utmost seriousness. I think sometimes Republicans wait for the right candidate, right? We're always sitting here saying we need the right candidate, which is part of the equation. To me, it's like making a good sauce. In order to get the right or good, talented candidate, we need to create the environment where we could win, which means we do the work now. It means we call Democrats, we call unaffiliateds, we educate them. If we simply sit around and wait, we're never going to pick up the seats. So if there's any listeners out there that want to get involved, please contact you at 860-426-1920. We're doing efforts. We have a couple special elections coming up in the next 2 months that we're going to be focused on, which could mean the difference in a toll vote.
Well, there's right? Representative Orange passed away, so her district. Representative Kupchick, Brenda Kupchick, became the mayor of Fairfield.
Correct.
And then actually Representative Fred Camillo became the mayor of Greenwich. So there's three, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
So we're going to be doing efforts. We're looking for volunteers for all three of those races. And again, it's about educating Democrats. And, you know, what we're trying to do is educate people beyond the flyers they get in the mail.
All right.
Spending time calling them, explaining what the Democrats have actually done to the state.
And even if they don't want to be a candidate themselves, they can still contact their local, their town RTC, talk to the chair, and become a member of the Republican Town Committee just within their town, correct?
Absolutely.
But how do you go again? Let's look at a swing town where you think, well, you know what? We Republicans have the opportunity, a really strong possibility of gaining this seat. You don't think it has anything to do with the candidate? You think it has more to do with the situation that the state of Connecticut is presently in?
Well, no, I think it's a combination. Let's take, for example, Gary, if Dan Malloy had an approval rating of 80%, would the Republicans have had 17 candidates for governor?
Yeah,
probably not.
No, right.
Right. So it's a combination of both. But what I believe is that the Republican Party needs to create the environment and build the possibility for victory.
Yeah, but as unpopular...
Because the more likelihood of victory is going to happen, the better the candidate that steps forward.
But, J.R., as unpopular as Dan Malloy was, Republicans not only lost the governor's race with Stefanowski, heck, we even lost seats in the House and Senate. So we can't really use Malloy
as
an example.
I'm going to remind you, there's a couple of things that people, that a lot of your listeners may not realize. Between Ned Lamont and his privileged life... spent $15 million of his own money. Chris Murphy spent another $15 million in propping up, because he was on the ballot, propping up local RTC. So the Republican Party was outspent by $30 million, and they barely beat us. So it's not, I understand your point. We had 22 races that were decided by one percentage point. We had eight races that were decided, that were in recounts.
Yeah.
You know, this wasn't a blue wave. And for your listeners that want to think back into history, 2004, that was a blue wave. We went to 38 members of the General Assembly. We lost 12 seats.
Yeah.
We're right in the game.
When should candidates running for state representative or state senate for next year, when should they start coming forward and assembling their teams?
Now, what needs to happen is the sooner that you start communicating with families that are frustrated with the bag tax, the grocery tax, property taxes, the fact that you go into, buy dinner for your family and it's 6-7% more expensive, we have to have these conversations now with the general elector. Think of it as you're putting in the work now to increase the likelihood that you win later.
Yeah. How much?
It's going to take a lot of work to save the state.
Well, and my last question is, how do unions factor into this? There's a lot of state employees that are basically brainwashed to believe that the enemy is a Republican, that we want to eliminate their jobs, their pensions, when in fact it's actually the contrary.
No, I believe we certainly have to look at how we do retirement and some of that packaging. But my mother's a teacher. You know, we want people to feel safe and secure, but we have to be honest with each other. You know, we're at a point where when you have a federal U.S. senator and Dick Blumenthal, who's entitled to federal congressional health benefits, opting out of congressional benefits
to get the deal
in Connecticut's better.
Yep. I know that.
We have a problem.
Yeah, he's opting out of it because the state of Connecticut offers a better deal. JR, thank you so much, and enjoy your Christmas and your new year. We hope to talk to you shortly in early January.
Thank you very much, guys.
It's always a pleasure to have you.